Principle 12.1. To diagnose well, ask the following questions. 1. Is the outcome good or bad? 2. Who is responsible for the outcome? 3. If the outcome is bad, is the responsible party incapable and/or is the design bad? If you keep those big questions in mind and anchor back to them, you should do well. What follows is a guide for getting the answers to these big-picture questions, mostly using a series of simple either-or questions to help you get to the synthesis you are looking for at each step. You should think of these as the answers you need before moving to the next step, leading all the way to the final diagnosis. You can, but don't need to, follow these questions or this format exactly. Depending on your circumstances, you may be able to move through these questions quickly, or you may need to ask some different, more granular questions. Is the outcome good or bad? And who is responsible for the outcome? If you can't quickly get in sync that the outcome was bad and who specifically was responsible, you're probably already headed for the weeds, in other words, into a discussion of tiny, irrelevant details. If the outcome is bad, is the RP incapable and/or is the design bad? The goal is to come to this synthesis, though to get there, you may need to examine how the machine worked in this instance and build the synthesis from there. How should the machine have worked? You may have a mental map of who should have done what, or you may need to fill it in using other people's mental maps. In any case, you need to learn who was responsible for doing what and what the principles say about how things should have gone. Keep it simple. At this stage, a common pitfall is to delve into a granular examination of procedural details rather than stay at the level of the machine, the level of who was responsible for doing what. You should be able to crystallize your mental map in just a few statements, each connected to a specific person. If you were delving into details here, you are probably off track. Once you've established the mental map, the key question is, did the machine work as it should have? Yes or no? If not, what didn't go as it should have? What broke? This is called the proximate cause, and this step should be easy to get to if you laid out the mental map clearly. You can do this via yes-no questions as well, because it should just require referring back to the key components of your mental map and pinpointing which the RP or RPs didn't do well. Say your mental map of the machine should have worked as two steps, that Harry should have either 1. Done his assignment on time, or 2. Escalated that he couldn't. All you have to do is pinpoint the two steps. 1. Did he do it on time, yes or no, and if not, 2. Did he escalate, yes or no? It should be this simple, but this is when the conversation often gets dragged into gobbledygook, where someone goes into a detailed explanation of what they did. Remember, it's your job to guide the conversation toward an accurate and clear synthesis. You also have to synthesize whether the problem was meaningful, that is, whether a capable person would have made the same mistake given the circumstances, or whether it's symptomatic of something worth digging into. Don't focus too much on rare events or the trivial problems. Nothing and no one is perfect. But be sure you are not overlooking a clue to a systematic machine problem. It's your job to make that determination. Why didn't things go as they should have? This is where you have synthesized the root cause in order to determine whether the RP is capable or not, or whether the issue is with the design. In order to anchor back to a synthesis rather than get lost in the details, you might tie the failure to the 5-step process. Which step was not done well? Everything ultimately fits into those 5 steps. But you may need to get more specific, so try to crystallize the failure as a specific key attribute or set of attributes. Ask yes and no questions. Did the RP not manage well? Not perceive problems well? Not execute well? Importantly, ask yourself this question. If X attribute is done well next time, will the bad outcome still occur? This is a good way of making sure you are logically connecting the outcome back to the case. Think of it this way. If your mechanic replaced that part in your car, would that fix it? If the root cause is a faulty design, don't stop there. Ask who was responsible for the faulty design and whether they are capable of designing well. Is the root cause a pattern? Yes or no? Any problem can be a one-off imperfection, or it could be a symptom of a root cause that will show up repeatedly. You need to determine which it is. In other words, if Harry failed to do the assignment due to reliability, does Harry have a reliability problem in general? If so, is reliability required for the role? And is Harry's failure due to training or abilities? How should the people and machines evolve as a result? Confirm that the short-term resolution of the issue has been addressed as needed. Determine the steps to be taken for long-term solutions and who is responsible for those steps. Specifically, are there responsibilities that need to be assigned or clarified? Are there machine designs that need to be reworked? Are there people whose fit for their roles needs to be reevaluated? For example, if you've determined that 1. It's a pattern, 2. The RP is missing an attribute that's required for the role, and 3. The attribute is missing due to the RP's ability, not their training, then you've likely been able to determine the answer to your most important question. The person is not capable and needs to be sorted from the role. These principles further flesh out how to diagnose well. A. Ask yourself, who should do what differently? I often hear people complaining about a particular outcome without attempting to understand the machine that caused it. In many cases, these complaints come from people who are seeing the cons of some decision but not the pros, and don't know how the responsible party weighed them to come to a decision. Since all outcomes ultimately come from people and designs, asking yourself, who should do what differently, will point you in the direction of the kind of understanding that you need to actually change outcomes in the future, versus just chirping about them. B. Identify at which step in the 5-step process the failure occurred. If a person is chronically failing, is it due to a lack of training or a lack of ability? Which is it? At which of the 5 steps did the person fail? Different steps require different abilities, and if you can identify which abilities are lacking, you'll go a long way toward diagnosing the problem. C. Identify the principles that were violated. Identify which principles apply to the case at hand, review them, and see if they would have helped. Think for yourself which principles are best for handling similar cases. This will help solve not only this problem, but other problems like it. D. Avoid Monday morning quarterbacking. Evaluate the merits of a past decision based not on what you know now, but only on what you could have reasonably known at the time the decision was made. Every decision has pros and cons. You can't evaluate choices in retrospect without the appropriate context. Do this by asking yourself, what should a quality person have known and done in that situation? Also, have a deep understanding of the person who made the decision, how they think, the type of person they are, whether they learned from the situation, and so on. E. Don't confuse the quality of someone's circumstances with the quality of their approach to dealing with the circumstances. One can be good and the other can be bad, and it's easy to confuse which is which. Such confusion is especially common in organizations that are doing new things and evolving fast but haven't yet gotten the kinks out. I've always described Bridgewater as being terrible and terrific at the same time. For nearly 40 years, we have consistently produced extraordinary results while struggling with lots of problems. It is easy to look at messy circumstances, think things must be terrible, and get frustrated. But the real challenge is to look at the long-term successes these messy circumstances have produced and understand how essential they are to the evolutionary process of innovation. F. Identifying the fact that someone else doesn't know what to do doesn't mean that you know what to do. It's one thing to point out a problem. It's another to have an accurate diagnosis and a quality solution. As described earlier, the litmus test for a good problem solver is, 1, they are able to logically describe how to handle the problem, and 2, they have successfully solved similar problems in the past. G. Remember that a root cause is not an action, but a reason. Root causes are described in adjectives, not verbs, so keep asking why to get at them. Since most things are done or not done because someone decided to do them or not to do them in a certain way, most root causes can be traced to specific people who have specific patterns of behavior. Of course, a normally reliable person can make the occasional error, and if that's the case, then it can be forgiven. But when a problem is attributable to a person, you have to ask why they made the mistake, and you have to be as accurate in diagnosing a fault in a person as you would be if he or she were a piece of equipment. A root cause discovery process might proceed like this. The problem was due to bad programming. Why was there bad programming? Because Harry programmed it badly. Why did Harry program it badly? Because he wasn't well trained and because he was in a rush. Why wasn't he well trained? Did his manager know that he wasn't well trained and let him do the job anyway, or did he not know? Consider how personal the questioning is. It doesn't stop at because Harry programmed it badly. You must go deeper in order to understand what about the people and/or design led to the failure. This is difficult for both the diagnoser and the RPs, and it often results in people bringing up all kinds of irrelevant details. Be on your guard, because people will often look to cover themselves by diving into the weeds. H. To distinguish between a capacity issue and a capability issue, imagine how the person would perform at that particular function if they had ample capacity. Think back on how the person performed in similar functions when they had ample capacity. If the same kinds of problems came up, then the problem is very likely one of capabilities. I. Keep in mind that managers usually fail or fall short of their goals for one or more of five reasons. 1. They are too distant. 2. They have problems perceiving bad quality. 3. They have lost sight of how bad things have become because they have gotten used to it. 4. They have such high pride in their work or such large egos that they can't bear to admit they are unable to solve their own problems. 5. They fear adverse consequences from admitting failure.